Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. I'm joined, as always, by my good friend Brandy. Brandy, are you there?
I am.
And my good friend Charles. Charles, are you there?
I'm here, Timmy. I'm here.
All right. Well, welcome to History Dweebs. Today we're going to talk about the curious case of Mary Toft. Mary Toft was a woman who, in England in 1726, gave birth to rabbits. Brandy, your thoughts on that?
You know, you'll have that, I guess.
Before we get started, I want to thank our listener, Kimberly, who suggested this topic. She thought it was a good topic for this podcast. About a woman who puts animal parts in her vagina. Although she may actually give birth to rabbits, it's kind of unknown, Brandy. We don't know yet.
Right, it's a mystery. Sure.
It's a mystery. Mm-hmm. But before we get started, let me remind everyone that we are a true crime history/comedy podcast. We use adult language. So if adult language...
Well, hold on, Timmy. Now, I think we need a disclaimer for the disclaimer.
Okay.
You use the kind of royal we on this, Timmy, with the foul language.
The royal we, yeah. I thought that's what Queen Elizabeth does when she goes to the bathroom, but...
that's a good one, Timmy.
Thank you, girl.
So, really, Timmy... me and you.
It's what Prince Philip gives her.
A pretty clean podcast.
Well, you and I are professional, of course, but we do have another co-host who sometimes uses adult language.
Well, and if we did them at 8 o'clock in the morning, maybe we catch her sober, mm-hmm. and she wouldn't be such use such
fat
foul language. But, yeah, we catch her this time. You know, it's 10:41 on a holiday. You know, she's already 4 margaritas into the day.
Yeah, I mean, we would have to start really early because I think the first thing she does when she wakes up is roll over, grab Schlitz off her bedstand.
Schlitz.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Schlitz.
Her and Lanny. Wake up.
And you know what that's going to look like in 10 years, Devil? Just in 10 years, you're going to look over and be waking up, rubbing your eyes, and looking over at a half-naked, one-armed Lanny. Okay. And if you don't change your ways, we're trying to help you out here.
I will
but
keep
if
that.
If you don't change your ways.
I'll keep that in mind.
We had an email from Andrea, a new Patreon supporter, who wanted to know the background on Lanny. So, Brandy, would you like to explain who Lanny is?
I don't know. If they have decided that if Dave ever leaves me, that I am going to end up with Lanny, who works at the Pet Boys with one arm.
It's not really a if, it's a win.
He's got greasy hair.
Dave leaves you.
Who works at the Pet Boys.
He has acne, and he's got the acne.
He's got the acne. He's got a mullet. He has one arm. That's who, if Dave leaves me, that's evidently that's the best I'm going to be able to do.
Lanny. And he also, he rolls his cigarettes in the sleeve of his T-shirt, too.
Well, and he rolls his own.
He rolls his own cigarettes. And he got the one arm from picking at a sore for too long and didn't knock one to the doctor, and he got the gangrene. They had to cut it off at the elbow. So he's got half arm.
Right.
He's got enough arms to work at the auto parts store.
I love that you guys think so much of me that that is... That's my alternative to my loving, wonderful husband.
We're just telling
is
you.
Is this weird, made-up guy.
Well, let's be honest. Dave is kind of out of your league, or Brandy.
Right. You
Dave's out of my
coverage
league.
On Dave, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's over there shaking his head.
I mean,
look at Dave. Now, you got Dave, wonderful provider, good father.
Handsome man.
Tries his best to be a good husband, but, I mean, really, you know, it just all Dave's romantic gestures and everything, they're like hitting a brick wall. They just bounce right off. This is one thing I've learned about you, Devil. One thing I've learned, and you could work on this. You don't receive love the way you should, Devil.
Oh, my God.
You just
true,
don't
Brandy.
Receive it.
Love's the greatest gift of all.
Look, Whitney Houston.
And learning to love yourself, Devil.
Yeah, I'm not doing this today.
It's the greatest gift of
thank
all.
Thank you so much, Whitney. Thank you.
I mean, oh, I just, there's more. You know, last night, about 1 o'clock, I couldn't sleep. I love myself.
Did you?
Yeah, you got to learn to love
Did you clean
yourself.
Up afterwards? After you loved yourself?
That took a
I'm
hard
out of wipes,
left.
Man.
Yeah, you need to do that, because if not, you wake up all sticky.
Oh, my God.
Well, you can't move.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
I'm trying not to. I'm going to have to drink bleach later.
Just learn to receive the love. I mean, just at work, you know, me and Timmy, we just try to, we shower you with love and affection, and what we get is hostility, ugliness, meanness in return. And, you know, for 7 years, me and Timmy have been very diligent and persistent. We just won't stop. You know, we're just determined to break you, Devil. But you never receive our love the way you should.
Love
now,
yourself,
you receive
Randy.
The economics professor's love and the C-, but you won't receive our love.
I think she got a C+.
Fuck off.
But, you know... You know what is nothing worse than that walk of shame, Colonel, after you love yourself and you have to walk to the bathroom with tissue hanging from you. You know what I mean?
Mascara running down your face.
Yeah. One broken high heel.
Exactly. That's
all right. Let me introduce our panel. I would like to introduce a woman who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent. She's known for her kindness, her humanity. She is loved everywhere in her kingdom. The very lovely Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
Well, Timmy, as you know, I've had an eventful couple of weeks lately. But I'm okay. I don't know if I sound different or whatever, but I'm okay. We're hanging in there. I woke up yesterday morning with hives all over me that aren't getting any better. But, what, yay.
Medication or just stress?
I don't know how it could be either one. I had antibiotics from my surgery, but, I mean, there's nothing.
Oh,
I'm sure I've taken them before.
But I got hives one time after a trip to Bangkok.
I bet you did. So, yeah, I had surgery, and I got good drugs, and now I'm...
And you got drugs, and I really, Brandy, I'm concerned. I gave you some painkillers. I'm concerned that you're going to get addicted to those, so I think you should put them in my possession so that I will safely dispose of them.
Well, I don't,
so that neither you or anyone else would be addicted to the opioids.
Well, simmer down, because I only...
When did you have the surgery?
I only
Devil?
Got eight.
When was this?
It was about 10 days ago, so it was not this past Thursday, but the Thursday before. So,
see, I had my gallbladder out, and I was cutting grass the next day.
Well, I was working the next day. I worked from home the next day. I just didn't go into the office because I had these.
You had a nose job done, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I have a nose job, but they had these two like McDonald's straws shoved up my nose, and they were all they did was like bleed. I couldn't even come into the office. It was terrible.
Did they test you for the corona?
I did get tested for the corona, which was awful. Awful. Baby Jesus, they swab your brain with those big ass Q-tips. It was terrible.
So I got to ask you this, Devil. Did they pack your nose?
Yes. They did.
They fully packed it. So your nose was full of cotton.
Yeah. So they packed my nose. And then, like I said, I had these straws up in there to kind of hold everything open so it could drain.
Have you ever felt any kind of pain when they took that, like when they took that out?
Well, let me, funny story, about Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it was Saturday or Sunday of last week, and I was trying to clean these straws, and I thought, you know what, because it wasn't really working, something was blocking these things, and I thought, you know what, let me see if I can maybe blow a little bit and, you know, get whatever it is blocking it out. And so I just like barely blew in them and they shot across the into the sink. These two tubes just shot out of my nose before I could even stop them or anything.
Are you kidding?
No.
Me?
And it was, I felt so much better. So much better. Of course,
now see,
first I was freaked out.
I've lived an existence where for whatever reason, you know, people obviously envy me and are jealous of me and sometimes they just don't like me.
Sure.
And so I have been punched in the nose a number of times.
Sure.
And the last time it had caused me to be so mangled up that they tried to just straighten everything out by packing it.
Yeah.
And it's like shoving two big tampons in your nose.
Yeah, yeah.
And what happens is...
How do you know that's what that's like, Colonel?
Well, that's what I can only imagine. That's what they seem like.
Saturday. I thought maybe...
What happens is over time they adhere to those mucus membranes in your nose. And when they go to take them out, it rips everything out there.
So...
And...
Yeah.
And you cry like a girl, like a little tiny girl that didn't get what she wanted for her, birthday. And we're going to get some email over that one. And but the worst thing is knowing that you got another one to go after they ripped that first one out.
So when they put the packing that they put in my nose was dissolvable. So actually when I shot the tubes or whatever out of my nose, I still had packing in there. And so
I didn't even have tubes. You were lucky.
Huh?
You were lucky. Now, I'm going back 25, 30 years.
Yeah.
40
so then,
years, maybe.
Yeah.
Even.
So they, the tubes came out, and then I had to go Tuesday and have the rest, whatever packing was left, pulled out. And it wasn't bad. It really wasn't. I didn't have black eyes. I never had black eyes or anything.
Oh, I had black eyes. They were doing Civil War shit on me. That's how medicine had advanced to that time. It was just mold his nose up, try to straighten it out as best you can.
They just gave you a piece of wood to bite down on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
pretty much, yeah. I mean,
it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, but I've caught a cold. So I'm still, because, you know, it's not like the weather here in Cincinnati has been really, you know, stable. So now I'm pretty sure I have a cold, so I still sound and feel kind of congested. But he pulled that packing out and he said, okay, take a breath. And it was like breathing through my nose for the first time. It was amazing. Amazing.
See, for 7 days, imagine that, 7 days. I didn't have tubes in mine, Devil. I was a mouth breather for 7 days.
You're a mouth breather now, so.
And he went in and took those little needle nose pliers that doctors use, yep, that they call something else, and just pulled real hard, and then
forceps.
Blood started coming out my nose, and I cried a little bit. I peed a little bit, I think, too.
Probably.
And then after they got me all cleaned up, they was like, okay, let's get the other one. And I was like, no, I'll just live like this the rest of my life. I'm fine.
I love that somehow Brandy time always turns into Colonel time.
Yes. Let me introduce to Colonel Brandy. He's a man who – I'm glad he's on this podcast because we're going to talk about the female anatomy today. And there is no greater expert on this topic than the Colonel. He's a man who's known as an oasis in the desert of despair. We turn to him, Brandy, in these times, these troubled times. He's a man who he's a best-selling author. Colonel, congratulations.
He's not.
I understand your book, How to Make Love to a Woman, is quickly going up the charts. I hear it's soon to be on the New York Times bestsellers list.
Where do you hear that?
Like everything else in this thing, Timmy, it's hard to get in this pandemic. Mm-hmm. And they're rationing them, as I put on Facebook, because here's what's happening. Men are getting the books, okay?
Uh-huh.
And they are reading the books, and they're following through with my instructions, and nobody's leaving the house, and the economy's just gone to hell. I mean, restaurants, they're not getting any business. Shopping malls, they're not getting any business. Because everybody's staying at home doing the Colonel love to me.
Burf. Well, Colonel, I think sometimes people are under the misconception that your book, How to Make Love to a Woman, is just for men only, but it's really not, is it? It's also for our lesbian sisters out there.
I have a couple chapters dedicated, or you know, just for the lesbians and for the alternate lifestyles, let's call them, because you know, let's face it, body parts are body parts.
Yeah,
to me,
I mean,
it doesn't matter. You know, all the plumbing's the same in a house, just how it's routed and what you do with it. You know, is different.
The thing I love about your book, Colonel, is that you teach lesbians how to please another woman.
Right.
Because
right.
Sometimes they probably don't know, you know, just because you have a vagina don't mean you know how to pleasure a vagina. Am I right, Colonel?
Well, to me, here,
oh my God,
and
no,
this is
stop.
What I try
stop,
to
stop,
explain
stop, stop, stop.
To our lesbian
this
sister.
This is so unbelievably offensive to every
yes.
woman.
Why do we have mechanics, Timmy?
Oh, my God.
Why do we have mechanics? Because, yes, you may own a car, but uh-huh. you don't know how to fix a car. You
right.
don't know how to keep that car running.
Yeah, but we can change the oil pretty easy, so don't worry about
basically,
that.
Basically, I'm a vagina mechanic.
Oh,
vagina mechanic.
No.
I'm a
maybe,
certified
maybe we need to include that in
mechanic.
Your title, Colonel. Maybe
no.
we have to.
Yeah.
But anyway, let me introduce the man who needs
no
introduction.
No, you already did. You did. We're done.
No, I didn't. I didn't give him his full introduction.
The
very honorable, the Reverend, the best-selling author, Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel, if at all?
I'm not good, Jimmy.
Fuck.
No, what?
I'm not good.
What's wrong, Colonel?
Well, this whole pandemic, you know, I like to get on Amazon and mm-hmm. get something. I like to, and I don't even know what I'm getting, Timmy. I just like to click the
you
button.
You are the Imelda Marcos of Amazon.
I just want to know what I can pick that I'm getting tomorrow. But since this whole coronavirus thing, they're putting things like, you know, food and basic household needs above everything else. So it's like, what can I get tomorrow? Tide laundry? I don't want Tide laundry detergent tomorrow. You know what I mean? I want a Bluetooth whatever, you know, I want something that I don't need, but I want it tomorrow.
And Imelda,
this pandemic is killing me. I got to wait sometimes. Timmy, I bought some reading glasses. Now, I'll show them to you when I get to work Monday. These are the finest.
You didn't buy them at Home Depot like you usually do?
No, I bought six different pair off Amazon this week.
Jesus.
And six different pair, no lie.
Now, let me ask you this, Colonel. Is the credit card that you have on your account, is that in your name or in the Mrs. Colonel's name?
I do not know, Timmy. I do not know.
I see.
So would you like to guess?
I just hit checkout, Timmy. That's all I hit is checkout. One big checkout.
Can we talk about Mary Toft?
Where these bills go to.
I want to talk about Mary Toft.
You know what? I'm using this Instacart thing. Oh, my God. That's so great. You know, you don't have to go to the grocery store. You mean, like, they shop.
You know
they
what?
Bring you stuff.
Three times I've used that. Two times I've got Keith. And Keith, if you're listening out there, I tell you, there ain't never been a better personal shopper than Keith. Because Keith will tell you they're out of this, but he will then send you a picture of something similar and say, do you want this instead?
Yeah, they do really good. That's a great service, man.
Okay.
You know what I did?
Mary Toft.
Yeah, Mary Toft. I would actually like to. I wish they were a sponsor on the show because I would like totally endorse them, but they're not, so we won't.
Do you know what I did by? I've been actually banned from using them because you can use Sam's for Instacart, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I like me an occasional honey bun, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I'll go to the Kroger and I'll get a pack of six, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, but when you go to Sam's, you get a pack of 24. And you get a pack of 24 cupcakes, and you get a pack of 24 everything. So it's, I don't really need 24 honey buns, Timmy.
Well, that's the whole point of Sam's. Colonel's, otherwise, just put them in your click list and move on. Where are you going with this?
I'm just
like,
saying.
What you're saying is that Sam's, you can buy things in bulk at Sam's, which I gotta tell you is a big old no fucking shit. That's the point of fucking Sam's. So quit telling me that you can buy shit in bulk at Sam's. No fucking kidding. Jesus.
Well,
fucking hell. Can we talk about Mary Toft? The goddamn point of Sam's. It's like going into Costco and saying, well, I just need one honey bun. Then don't go to fucking Costco. Go to fucking Kroger.
Well, Colonel, I've got an idea
for a business. Oh, goddamn it.
Like if you want heroin, right? And you could go online, order it, and then someone would deliver it to your door. What do you think about that business plan?
Yeah, that's already a thing. Come on.
I didn't know that was
you have thing. To order a cheese pizza
it's
with extra oregano. Everybody
it's
knows.
1726, Brandy. Please stop interrupting me. People want us to get to the story.
Yeah, people complain about the banter, Devil. We're trying to keep it to a minimum.
Please. Thank you, Colonel.
Ugh.
In 1726, a poor, illiterate woman, which is kind of odd because in some places I read that she was a good student. But can you be a good student if you're illiterate?
Yes.
Well, Helen Keller was.
You use context clues.
1726, 50 years before the American Revolution, a poor, illiterate woman in England by the name of Mary Toft fooled the city's finest doctors, scientists, and even the king, fooled them to make them believe that she gave birth to rabbits and other various animal parts.
Well, that's pretty damn disturbing. I do have a question, though.
Oh my God! Okay.
Since somebody brought her up,
is this if we can get one roll? Can we just get one Hawaiian roll at fucking Costco? Because I swear to God, if you ask that goddamn question, I will fucking find you.
You know, you can't get one banana there. Do you think all that great wisdom that they attributed to Helen Keller, you think she really said all that shit?
I thought she was mute.
She was.
Well, then she didn't blind. Say shit.
I guess she... That's what I mean. I mean, it's like...
Well, she did. It just, you just couldn't understand what she said.
Right, but you look at Brainy quote. They got all kinds of Helen Keller just, you know, amazing quotes. And I'm just wondering, did they attribute this to Helen Keller and somebody
so
else said it?
You're calling bullshit on the Helen Keller quote.
Not full bullshit, Timmy. I'm just calling possible shenanigans.
I'm calling shenanigans on Marilyn Monroe quotes.
Yeah.
If she's a beautiful woman. I'm sure she is, you know, great. But, hey, come on. She didn't. All those quotes. That's bullshit. And
yeah,
I agree.
Know that she strung three or four thoughts together real well.
But. What is your, Colonel, what is one of your favorite Helen Keller quotes?
One of my favorite Helen Keller quotes would probably be...
Perfect.
That's terrible, man. That's terrible. Brandy.
You set him up for
that. Please get him in. You're our moral... you're our moral compass, Brandy.
Well, then we're in trouble.
We're going to get so fucked up for that.
Then we got some problems.
It is not... It is not a skill anyone had been clamoring for, but it's
just,
understandably...
Wait a minute. Side note, giving birth to rabbit parts is not a skill. Go ahead.
Well, it's not a skill that anyone had been clamoring for.
Because it's not a skill at all. Skills would be like leather working or, you know, being a blacksmith. Giving birth to rabbits, not a skill.
Okay. Can you do it? Can you do it?
There you go. I believe, you know, maybe see, over time, the stories get changed.
I'm hearing a tinge of jealousy there, Colonel.
Oh, no, here's the thing.
I am too.
Did you just ask me if
too.
I could do it?
Uh-huh.
Well, I guess if somebody shoved Peter Cottontail into my nether noddy, then yeah, I'm betting that I could push it out. Or pull it out, or whatever. But, you know...
Or he just come running out on
his
own.
It might come running out on his own.
Hope he has his toenails clipped.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, not a skill.
Regardless, if it had everyone fascinated, Brandy.
I bet.
Mary Todd.
I wonder if over time, no, Timmy, this was back in 1726 when they didn't have the World Wide Web, Timmy.
Yeah,
you know,
they didn't have the Netflix. Yeah.
Maybe she just fucked like a bunny. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like they say, people just, she in there doing it like rabbits.
I'm thinking it like rabbits. See, I was thinking it more, it was like a magic act. Like, you know, people pull rabbits out of their hat.
Ta-da.
And she just, ta-da.
Nice.
Mary Toft delivered on that promise. Over 17 times, Brandy. Leading to a spectacle that mesmerized the nation for several months, at least until she was exposed.
So no, she was exposed, all right.
Mary Toft was born Mary Denyer in 1703 in an area known as, and you know what, I'm going to say this name, and it's going to be wrong, and then Leanne's going to tease me about it, but I'm going to try. Godalming, in a town called Surrey, which was about 40 miles north of London, probably about 55 kilometers, Colonel. I know you can do those calculations in your
Timmy,
head.
What
you
is it as the
one.
Crow flies?
Godalming.
As
you
crow
nailed
flies.
The name of that city.
Thank Godalming.
You. You got it.
Thank you, Colonel. Well, it's one of the poorest areas in the country, Brandy, or was in the early 18th century. Not much is known about Mary's childhood, except that she was poor, considered a good student. Again, she's illiterate. I don't know how good a student she was. And had a vivid imagination, Brandy.
Right.
At 17.
Clearly she does.
At 17, Mary married a wool textile worker named Joshua Toft, who was 18 as well. Oh, he was 18. She was 17. Isn't that a little bit too young to get married, Brandy?
Yes. By the way, in case you're wondering, so is 32. Go ahead.
Back, they was only living to like 22, 23 back then, Timmy.
Now, he was a wool textile worker, which is, you know, probably equivalent to what being a working at Pep Boys today, I would guess.
Well, you know, some that might be a euphemism for the first vagina blacksmith.
A vagina blacksmith. Worker, Timmy. Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
Not a skill.
Well, sometimes you got to forge a vagina, Timmy. Vaginas forged in steel. Forged now, by fire, Timmy.
Brandy, have you ever met anyone who was like a vagina whisperer who just...
You mean besides my husband?
I can see Dave as a vagina whisperer.
I can see that.
That's why I married him.
Yeah.
If there's anything, when I met Dave, if there's anything that jumped out at me, it was just a romantic ladies' man.
Oh, he is a ladies' man.
Let's not go crazy. He wears, you know, suspenders. So settle down.
Well, I mean, Brandy, let's face it. He took you out of rehab, got you straightened up, and you basically owe him your whole life. So
really, got your hair cut. Shower, put some makeup on you. You didn't turn out half bad.
No.
Got you away from the meth.
Meth.
Mm-hmm. drug you right out of that home for
wayward women.
There you go.
Obstinate women. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, Joshua and Mary.
Have you ever thanked him, Devil? Have you ever thanked him properly?
You really should thank him every single day.
Yeah.
You know how some people pray to God and give thanks? That's what you should do to Dave every day.
Yeah.
Can wait.
Get on your knees.
If you want to thank him now, we'll pause.
No, why don't you publicly thank him?
We're good. Keep it moving.
You seem ungrateful, Brandy.
I am not. I'm grateful every day to my husband. He's wonderful.
He is wonderful.
And he's heavy.
And
he's listening to all this and heavy sighing and shaking his head.
Well, Dave, he's a vagina whisperer, so.
He is. That's why I married him.
There's not many of us still around, are they, Colonel?
It's a lost art, Timmy. It's a lost art.
It really is. So soon, Joshua and Mary had two children. With another one on the way, Brandy. In addition to raising her children, Mary worked as a farm laborer to bring in additional income. Every morning, Mary would walk 2 hours to her job in a hop field. Another grueling day in a relatively grueling life, Brandy. Your thoughts on that?
That sucks. It's 17.
And she had to eat.
It's 17, whatever. 1726 or something. I mean, my God. Everybody's life was kind of grueling at that point.
In 1726, Mary became pregnant with her third child. Despite a difficult pregnancy, Mary continued to work in the fields from sunup until sundown.
Is sunup one word? Like sunup? Sunrise, sunset. Go ahead.
After work, she would make the two-hour walk home where she would cook, clean, and care for her family.
Joshua needs to step up here.
No, Brandy, you this is, they were, the women back in the day, you know, they could do it all, Brandy. I don't know. Yeah, they got soft, Colonel. They really have gotten soft.
They have gotten soft to me. A two-hour work and then getting dinner on the table on time, Timmy.
Yeah,
on time.
You think they serve?
A two-hour walk at a quick pace. She wasn't slacking.
Do you think that she? You know, they ate pigeon back in them days. You ever eaten pigeon, Colonel?
You know, if you cook it right, Timmy.
There it is.
It tastes like chicken.
Perfect.
In August of 1726, Mary started having terrible pains, and a doctor was called to help. There was little the doctor could do, however, and Mary experienced a miscarriage while she was working in the fields.
Well, that's a shame for poor Mary.
Yes. So, well, Brandy, tell us what happens next.
Well, old girl returned to work after just 2 days.
I'm telling you, Colonel, that's when women were women.
Yeah, that's back when women were, I mean, we've just made it so easy for them, Timmy.
Well, mm-hmm.
They don't appreciate it. They don't appreciate
it. Microwave ovens and dishwashers. And
vacuum cleaner.
Okay.
Yeah, and the bonbons. And
so, after 2 days, Mary goes back to work. And despite having had this miscarriage, she still appeared to be pregnant.
Rumba.
Because that's what happens.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Electricity.
Because you have a baby and you still, like, for a little while, you still look pregnant. It's just a thing that happens. But anyway, so the other ladies in the field.
It could happen.
Here's the thing. So the other ladies in the field who have no medical experience or they wouldn't be working out in a fucking hop field told Mary, I think they are, these women are the 1726 version of looking your shit up on Google. Other ladies in the field told Mary that the doctor must have been wrong about the miscarriage. Obviously. Because they know better.
Well, I mean, it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like when you guys look your shit up on WebMD and decide you're dying from, you know, scurvy.
Well, this is why we have the colonel on the show, Brandy, because he is our technical expert. Colonel, I'm sure you've seen this happen in the past where a woman either gives birth or miscarriages and still appears.
Why would
pregnant.
He have seen that?
Well, generally they do appear pregnant for a while because, you know, the baby's been in there and, you know, it takes a little bit of time for things to get back to form, you know.
Well, Colonel.
So, yeah, I could understand that.
Okay, stop talking
now. The reason why we have him, because he knows the female anatomy like no one, Brandy. I mean,
he knows nothing, Jon Snow. All right.
Well, what you've had, Timmy, what you've had is the, what we call, the technical name is the baby shoot. Timmy.
The baby shoot.
Oh,
the baby
for fuck's
shoot.
Sake.
It's in the vagina. When you get pregnant up in the cervix or uterus somewhere up in there, the woman, and that's why the belly gets big, is because, you know, you got the baby.
Is it because your cervix is pregnant?
Shoot.
It's because your cervix is pregnant,
well,
right?
It's like a big tunnel.
Yes.
For the baby to come
okay.
out.
Now listen.
So that's why the hips
baby
separate.
Shoot.
The baby shoot. It's It's like a big water slide, Timmy. Think in terms of a water slide.
Okay.
Because that baby's got a, you know,
it
the
really,
baby doesn't
wait a
wanna
minute.
Be.
It really sounds like one of those fucked up games that you play. Like, what is it? They shoot clay pigeons with mm-hmm. the pole. Mm-hmm. See? So you can have a baby shoot. Pole. Anyway.
And then.
No.
Okay.
Then the baby comes H-U-T-E. Baby shoot.
Shoot.
Like shoots and ladders.
Ah, S-H-O-O-T. Anyway.
So it's a baby shoot.
So
when women become pregnant, right below, it's basically, think about a 6-inch PVC pipe, Timmy. Like you know, like drainage, you know.
Right.
Like plumbing.
Right.
Plumbing, so.
Did somebody pull your fucking string today? What is
maybe
wrong
Colonel,
with
you? Could,
and that's what causes the hips to separate.
You know what?
Sometimes they go back together.
Do this on Colonel After Dark or whatever the fuck is that you think you're doing. Or write it in your book. I don't give a shit. But
and,
let's
and,
move
and
forward.
And, Colonel, I believe you've told me in the past that when a woman is ready to give birth, there's a little bell that goes off. And then the baby
There's a bell that goes off.
Her yeah. belly button pops out. It's like
yeah,
a turkey
and,
timer.
And there's also a cork, Timmy. It's now
cork.
Women don't like to say that it's a cork, but it's called the technical term is the mucus plug, Timmy.
Oh my God!
But it's basically a cork that's holding the baby in there. Once the cork's pulled, the baby
what
comes
is happening?
Flying down the baby chute, and then
flying
so they don't fly out onto the floor. They right at the end of the vagina, they stop, and then you got to reach in there and pull them out.
And you use a catcher's mitt, I believe, Colonel, when to catch the baby coming out of the baby chute. I think you've mentioned that before.
How do either one of you have women in your life? How do either one of you have women in your life that are willing to sleep with you? I mean, I have to think.
We're gentlemen.
At least
with
Chuck.
We're gentlemen.
Well, at least with Chuck, he's got kids to prove it. Timmy, you got nothing. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't.
Well,
you know. I just
we're
can't.
Gentlemen. What are you talking about?
You're fucking jackwads. So listen,
Timmy and I have a special set of skills that cannot be overlooked.
Well, is one
you're
of
also
wait a minute? Is one of your skills getting rid of hives because mine are flaring up and we need to keep it moving? So.
I don't know why you keep interrupting the story, Brandy. We get bad reviews because people say that there's too much banter, and here you are.
Can't.
You're talking. You're insulting me and the Colonel, your co-host. You're insulting.
You're talking about your hives.
All yeah. right.
No
so,
one cares about your hives.
So, Brittany, Jenny, and Karen, who worked in the field with Mary, told her that the doctor must have been wrong about the miscarriage. So a few hours after returning to work, Mary started complaining of intense stomach pain. The pain was so sharp that Mary passed out in the field. It was during this time that the other Patties in the field watched in horror as Mary spit out several pieces of flesh, one of them as big as an arm. My guess is that was
now
her placenta
my
that
word
never got shot
ingested.
Out. Egested, fine.
Now, I believe the script said egested.
It
yes.
also said sun up. So let's settle down on what we're going to do and what
Timmy's
we're not.
Don't kill Timmy's
prose. So she spit out basically.
So she's shooting out flesh
yes.
as big as an arm.
So the doctor.
Big as an arm.
Yes. So the doctor reviewing the case now believed that this may have been the result of an abnormality of the developing placenta, which caused the embryo to stop developing. And the blood clots in the flesh to be ejected. So she basically
doesn't
just
placenta
threw out her
like
afterbirth.
A breakfast drink.
No, it wasn't.
Does.
So
I
she have
placenta
she's,
on the rocks.
She's thrown out. God, she's thrown out her afterbirth.
Night.
So they took her home.
Okay.
They took her home and they put her on bed rest.
All right. She's slacking.
Remember, she had to do her own laundry back then. She had to go down to the river and beat that clothes.
And beat her kids, I'm sure, because Joshua is a piece of shit that is nowhere to be found. A few days later, on September... Yeah. A few days later, on September 27th, Mary started experiencing intense cramps. And it was clear that Mary was now going into labor. I don't know, clear to who. Unfortunately for Mary, there were no midwives immediately available. So she, this is a good call. So Mary was initially attended to by her 12-year-old neighbor, Maria Gill. So
I want to know why Maria Gill wasn't busy at work in the coal mines. I mean, by 12 years old,
exactly. Jesus Christ. What was she doing at home anyway?
That's what I'm saying.
I got a lot of questions about that. But anyway, so Maria was shocked. I'm sure she was, that while attending to Mary, Mary gave birth to something that resembled a liverless cat. What does a liverless cat look like?
How the fuck you gonna know if a cat's got a liver or not?
I mean, unless it's just splayed open, I can't. What does she know what a liverless cat looks like?
Was Mary Gill a goddamn veterinarian? There is
exactly.
There's nothing.
That's one of those rare liverless cats.
Nothing worse than a liverless cat.
Yeah, a lily.
How do you?
They don't live very long if they don't have a liver.
If they're liverless,
they don't.
In addition to the liverless cat, Maria Gill was able to remove a bunny skull, a dog's tail, and what appeared to be a bird's beak, all from Mary Toft's nether naughties.
Oh my God, she was
very. It was
talented.
Very crowded. It was very crowded up there.
That vagina was like, you could have found the Holy Grail in that vagina.
Right.
She basically had a whole petting zoo in that vagina.
Well, she had the makings. She had all the parts in there to make a whole new animal and zap it with lightning and see what happens.
Yeah.
Maria.
Cat.
Maria Gill, the 12-year-old neighbor, put the pieces of animal flesh into a knapsack and gave it to Mary. Here, something to remember it by. Yeah, do something with this. I just can't.
That'd make a pretty good stew, I'd imagine.
Ah, no. Mary then decided to show the pieces to her mother and to her mother-in-law, Ann Toft, who by chance was a midwife. So you couldn't get your mother-in-law to roll over there and help you out, but you got the 12-year-old neighbor girl who doesn't know shit from apple butter about anything.
Ann was probably at work.
Ann needs to prioritize and go over and help her. Whatever. This whole fucking thing stinks to high hell. So Ann sent the flesh to... Jesus God, this flesh is making trips. To John Howard, a Guilford-based man midwife of 30 years experience.
A man midwife.
A man midwife.
That's what you should do, Colonel.
Yeah. Well, Timmy, I've pretty much had my share of trouble vaginas. I'm tired of trouble vaginas. Timmy, I'm done with trouble vaginas.
Yeah. Well, almost all of them are trouble.
So initially,
that's why I wrote the book, Timmy, because I can't do this all alone. I can't do it all by myself, Timmy. I need your help out there. Read the book.
All right.
Read the book.
How to Make Love to a Woman by the Colonel.
How to Make Love to a Woman.
Y'all are making my reflex act up. So initially, Howard dismissed the notion that Mary Toft had given birth to animal parts because he should.
Yeah?
No, she didn't. Nuh-uh. But the next day, despite his reservations, he went to go see her. Well, I would think you had to at that point.
Yeah.
And
so did P.T. Barnum.
Yeah. Ann Toft showed Howard more pieces of the previous night's exertions. But on examining Mary, he found nothing. Howard was getting ready to leave when Mary started convulsing and again going into labor. This time, with two experienced midwives present, Mary appeared to give birth to several more animal parts. According to Howard's contemporary account of the event, over the next few days, Howard delivered, oh my God, three legs of a cat of a tabby color, one rabbit
tabby,
leg.
Tabby color. I wonder if that
tabby
cat has a liver. I wonder if it had a liver.
I don't know. It doesn't say. One rabbit leg. The guts were as a cat's, and in them were three pieces of the backbone of an eel.
Well, see, that's where the liver was on the original cat.
Well, and here's the other thing.
The guts of the
How
cat.
Are they not burning her for being a witch?
Do eels have... You know what? And I'm going to tell you, you know, like a bridge over a troubled vagina. And I'm going to tell you something. You got problems with your vagina when animals are crawling up there to die.
Yeah, this is
that's what it sounds
this
like.
This is a public service announcement. If you've got a liverless cat in your vagina, we suggest you see a doctor right away.
I think she had it backwards. I don't
Call
think 911. She was giving birth. I think she had a vagina that animals were finding to crawl in to die. That's what I think was going on here.
Because really, if you're a liverless cat, I mean, you know, it's all over, basically. So you are, he's got a good point, Brandy.
I mean, basically.
It's like an elephant. They know where to go to die. And liverless.
This woman's vagina was like when you get a great white shark on shore and you cut his belly open. They was liable to find license plates and everything else in that vagina.
Well, and. Where are they getting all these parts to put? Like, they're slaughtering things to put.
She's giving birth to them, Brandy.
I'm going to tell
pay
you,
attention.
I think she was feral.
Pay attention.
I think she was just going out catching these animals, gnawing on them, and then just storing parts for later.
So his word began to get around that.
That can't be healthy, Brandy, to have animal parts in your vagina.
I wouldn't guess so. Yeah. But as word began to get around that Mary was giving birth to animals, family members, neighbors, and friends showed up at Mary's house in hopes of watching Mary deliver more creatures.
Well, you'd want to pull up a chair for that.
And Mary,
I do have one question about this.
Just one.
Now, you're in 1726, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have the internet to look something up. Who in the fuck knows what a backbone of an eel looks like?
Well, the male midwife there, he's probably very knowledgeable.
He was gone.
I don't know how you know a cat doesn't have any liver without opening it up.
I know, without x-ray.
Yeah.
They didn't have x-ray machines back then. What's this guy?
Well.
Superman? He's got superpowers. He can see through things, x-ray vision.
Yeah.
And what's a cat's liver even look like? Where is a cat's liver? Do you know where a cat's liver is?
I don't.
No, this is 300 years
honestly,
later, and I don't even
I don't,
know where a goddamn cat's liver is.
I don't either, Brandy.
Yeah.
I don't know. So anyway.
This is a mystery.
Yeah, let's get Scooby on it. So all these random people start showing up at her house. And, of course, Mary, ever the showman, didn't disappoint. As a crowd started to gather outside her small home. Now, as I pause here, I'm going to tell you, do not say a fucking word until I finish this sentence. Because there's a lot to unpack here, okay?
Okay.
All right. Charles, do you understand what I'm saying?
I'm just stunned.
Okay. So as a crowd started to gather outside her small home, Mary gave birth to another rabbit, a small deer, and a partial goat. So, just briefly, let's unpack that for a second. Which,
a small deer.
A small deer and a partial goat. So, here is my question.
If it stumbled and walked real clumsily coming out.
No, here's the question.
What part of the goat?
Like Bambi.
Yeah. But here's the better question.
What part of
is
the
this
goat?
In
I mean,
one session?
Goat. Was it the ass of a goat?
I don't know. Is this in one session that all three of these things came out? Or is this over a couple of days? I don't understand.
Well, they did keep good records back then, you know. They didn't have birth certificates or anything.
Well, and never
know,
mind
the
fact.
Didn't have to here's hunt. The thing. He just had to go in the bedroom in the morning and
here's
dinner.
What I'm No, here's what I'm going to say, and I'm going to say this again at the end probably, is that, this woman was dumb, but how fucked up are you that you say, you know what's a good idea? Get that rabbit over there, cut off one of its legs, and just shove it right up my hoo-hoo. And that's a good idea. And then continue to do it.
I'm gonna go out in the woods.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna hunt me a really small deer. I mean, because even the smallest deer now
is pretty big to go in
there. As I've said, as a certified vagina mechanic, this is a vagina after the small deer and the partial goat. This just got to go to the scrapyard.
Now there's no coming back from that.
I think we need to give her the benefit of the doubt, though. I mean, she's, you know.
What?
Always believe the woman at first, Brandy. And
I believe her.
She's claiming.
But I also believe that her poor husband, he ain't even hitting the sides on that thing anymore.
Oh, Joshua. Poor Joshua.
Poor Joshua's ass.
Joshua, he goes to work every day at the textile mill. And then he comes home. Oh, he wants his dinner. And a little affection from his wife, and fucking, partial goat comes out of that thing.
I know. We talked about vagina with teeth. She's got like seven
sets of teeth.
She's
got a zoo down there.
And a fucking eel.
Oh, my God. So Mary would seemingly, hold on,
I mean,
Mary
what
would
if he
seemingly,
was the colonel, what if he was going to pleasure her with oral sex and he gets down there and, fucking,
yeah,
you know,
gets kicked in the face
it's
by
like,
a goat.
It's like a fucking clown car. You know?
It really is.
It's like how many animals can you pack in a telephone booth?
Evidently.
How big was this vagina?
Evidently, a rabbit, a small deer, and a partial goat. I feel like that's the max. I feel like that would be
those
the
guys,
maximum.
You know those little Shriners guys? She gave birth to those, too, with the little cars.
Little
I mean,
Shriners
they probably hat. Tried. Yeah, they probably tried to squeeze a mouse in there or something, and it just couldn't quite. But, yeah,
he
I think that the rabbit. I think we've reached our limit on that. So
it probably
Mary,
is like, you know, you could pull out a handkerchief and keep pulling.
Yeah. Yeah, it just keeps coming out. Yeah.
Oof.
So Mary would seemingly produce these animals from her vagina. Mary's young nephew, which is good, we're teaching them so early. Mary's young nephew would take the newly born animals or animal parts and proudly show the crowd. And a great cheer would go up with every birth. Huh.
Oh, yeah.
Playing up, playing
they wanted
to
the
see audience.
What was coming
the
next.
Small, yeah. The small hamlet soon took on a circus-like atmosphere. Get the fuck out of town. In addition to the local folks, people started arriving from as far away as Birmingham to see what now was being called the goddamn miracle.
The goddamn miracle.
It is a miracle.
I don't know that I would call... See...
That's not a miracle.
I think they're viewing this... They're not viewing this from her husband's perspective.
Well, first of all,
this was not a miracle to him. This was
no.
a goddamn curse.
This is a curse. And here's the thing. If you want to call it a miracle, then she's going to birth the cure for cancer, or she's going right. to birth fire or
so
something.
You're saying a liverless cat does not...
It does not a miracle make. Yeah. Yes, I am.
Yeah, okay.
I am saying that. It's a bold statement for me, but yes, I am saying that.
I just want to know, how close was she to a full goat?
I don't know what part
of partial.
Like, God damn it, if you could have just got one more leg, you would have had a
the
full
researcher,
goat.
Well, I mean, she had a,
the researcher
she had a,
on this
she
doesn't
had a
indicate.
Small deer. She had a small deer in there, so.
Yeah.
Hey,
what, you know, not, what if she would
she doesn't have a bottomless she, vagina.
It's a good thing she had the Noah's Ark of vaginas, Timmy.
She did.
She really did. All right. So soon vendors were setting up shop, selling all sorts of wares, including mutton, venison. I wonder if that was anything they got out of her vagina.
Yeah.
Partridge stew and pigeon pie. T-shirts.
Mm. Oh, this is.
CIA pigeon pie.
T-shirts and beer koozies.
Get your fresh birth deer over here.
Exactly.
Vagina deer on a stick.
That's right.
Or a partial goat.
Vendors vendors also tried to sell animal parts they claimed had been birthed by Mary Toft. It quickly became the most important event in the town's history. As the story As the story became more widely known, Henry Davenant, a member of the court of King George I, went to see for himself what was happening. He examined the samples Howard had collected and returned to London, ostensibly a believer. Meanwhile, John Howard had Mary moved to the larger town of Guildford, where he offered to deliver rabbits in the presence of anyone who doubted her story. At the time, maternal impression was widely held belief that conception and pregnancy could be influenced by what the mother dreamt or saw, and warned pregnant women that the over-familiarity with household pets could cause their children to resemble said pets.
Hmm. I wonder what over-familiarity meant.
Maternal impression, Brandy.
I wonder, what if you got two things in there that didn't get along, like a cat and a dog? She had a cat and a dog in there one time.
Oh, they're yeah, that would be uncomfortable, at least.
Now, you know, after all this attention that this woman was getting, that there were other women in the town saying, that goddamn Mary, I could do better than her. And, you know, just... So, running into the bedrooms and trying to stuff the the family German Shepherd in there,
and that's and Brandy,
get in there,
and Brandy, that's the problem. This is the beginning of vagina envy. Brandy, is when women envy other women's vaginas.
It's a syndrome, Timmy. Yes. It's a syndrome.
I'm familiar with pussy hubris. I know how that works. But I don't know that somebody producing dead animals out of their vagina would make somebody jealous. I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, she's getting a lot of attention at this point, Colonel.
Well, that's what I mean. And she's getting attention, so the other women in town are all of a sudden deciding that they should cram a partial goat up in there and then say, oh, look at me, I'm giving birth to a partial goat, too. Ah! See, it's one of those things that causes mass psychosis in a town, Timmy.
Well, you know, it would make these guys that put gerbils up their butt just envious.
Yeah, well, you know, there were guys in the town, too, that were, you know, going out and finding a small, tiny ox and trying to shove it up their ass just to show that they could do it, too. So
yeah,
well, am I going on with this, or you want to go on with it, Devil? You was on a nice roll there.
Okay, so by the middle of November, the British royal family were so interested in the story that they sent court the physician Marcus Saint somebody. To investigate.
Marcus Saint somebody?
Yeah. He was the court physician.
We did a deep dive on this one.
Well.
And apparently, they were not disappointed. They arrived on November the 15th, right before Thanksgiving, Colonel, where they were taken by John Howard, to see Mary, who within hours... delivered a rabbit's torso.
This woman, she's like her own pet store.
Well, it had to be a little disappointing if you come all the way from London, because you know travel back in those days wasn't very convenient. And
no, they didn't have Uber.
You want to see the whole rabbit. You just don't want the rabbit's torso. You know. But anyway.
Well, yeah, and this is the thing. She keeps spitting out fucked up animals.
Yeah.
And she's like Frankenstein. You know, how many did she ever get this right? Did she ever just spit out a full working dog?
Well, the court physician, Marcus Saint Andre, details his examination of the rabbit to check to see if it had breathed air. he placed a piece of its lung in water to see if it would float. That's quite a trick there. Which it did. Which tells you that the rabbit was alive, right? At one point.
I guess. I don't know all these little tricks.
St. Andre then performed a medical examination on Mary and concluded the rabbits were bred in her fallopian tubes, Brandy.
Bullshit. Bullshit.
Okay, Devil, you've had children, right? So the doctor comes in and tells you as you're about to give birth, you're at 8 centimeters. You dilate it to 8 centimeters, right? How goddamn many centimeters do you got to be to spit out a partial goat?
52.
And a baby deer. You know, it's like, you're at 1.5 feet dilated. So, you know, it should be coming anytime soon.
How'd you like the
poor bastard that had to reach up in there and figure out what was coming out next?
Well,
a further medical examination followed, Timmy, and St. Andre delivered some rabbit skin, followed by a few minutes later, a rabbit's head. Now, both men inspected the egested pieces of flesh, noting that some resembled body parts of a cat. Now, fascinated, the king sent surgeon Sirius Olives to Guildford. Now, Dr. Olives arrived, on November 20th and found Mary exhibiting no signs of pregnancy. Now, he may have already suspected the affair was a hoax and observed that Mary seemed to press her knees and thighs together as if to prevent something from dropping down. Because once a baby goat comes out of your woman parts, your tingly parts, you do have to keep your legs together really tightly to keep things from falling out. Now, he also thought Howard's behavior was just as suspicious, as the man midwife would not let him help deliver the rabbits. See, somebody's pulling a rabbit out of a hat here, Devil, and saying, it came from the vagina. You see where I'm at here? So, now, convinced this whole affair was a hoax, he lied, telling those involved that he believed Mary's story. Before making excuses and returning to London, taking specimens of the rabbit with him. Now, upon closer study, he reportedly found evidence of them having been cut with a man-made instrument.
Gross.
And noted pieces of straw and grain. This woman was shoving stuff up in a hoo-ha, Devil.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
But how'd somebody run down a baby deer? How hard do you gotta push to shove a baby deer in there? Of course, after the partial goat, I guess you ain't gotta push too hard.
Well, you know, put your shoulder into it.
You do. You got to lift with your back, or lift with your legs, because you don't want to.
You
got to
put your
back.
Shoulder into it, get it up there.
Now, his suspicions began to worry both Howard and St. Andre, and apparently the king, as 2 days later, and a colleague were ordered back to Guildford. Upon their arrival, they met John Howard, who told St. Andre that Mary had given birth to 2 more bunnies. She delivered several portions of what was presumed to be placenta, but she was by then quite ill and suffering from a constant pain in the right side of her abdomen. And that was probably from a baby horse kicking. You know how you can feel on your belly when you're pregnant?
Yeah, exactly.
You feel the kicking?
What the hell?
Yeah, she had a donkey in there kicking, and they can kick like hell. Now, she was unable to move around without him being present, Now, under Adler's constant supervision, Mary Toft went into labor several times, but to no avail. Did they deliver any further rabbits or animal parts? Now, the hoax was
shocking.
Uncovered. The hoax, Devil, on December 4th, an investigation revealed that for the past month, Mary's husband, Joshua, had been buying young rabbits.
Why?
Also, Mary's sister-in-law was caught trying to sneak a rabbit into a bedroom. Think about this. You got a woman cramming rabbits into her.
I mean, why?
Here's my question about that, Devil. You put a full rabbit in there, and only part of a rabbit's coming out?
Well, yeah,
what
maybe.
What is your vagina doing to the rabbits?
I don't know, dude.
She got a pH balance messed up somewhere in that vagina.
Well, she's probably going into toxic shock. Jesus.
Well, I mean, you got a vagina that's dissolving rabbits. Is what you got a carnivorous vagina. It's eating the rabbits.
Vagina teeth.
Now, when arrested and questioned, Mary she denied everything. Wasn't me.
Right.
But when authorities threatened to perform a dangerous operation on Mary, she broke down and confessed. She told authorities that following her miscarriage and while her cervix was permitted access, her niece had inserted into her womb the claws and body of a cat.
Oh,
and
my
a rabbit.
God.
Yeah.
Why?
They also invented a story which Mary claimed during her pregnancy while working in the field she had been startled by. I guess you would be startled by a rabbit coming out of your parts and became obsessed with rabbits. For later, animal parts had been inserted into her vagina.
What?
Now, although
first
the authorities had a confession.
Wait a
they
minute.
Didn't even know what crime to charge her with.
I know, but hold on. And we're going to sit on something for just 2 seconds. Is that her niece inserted the claws, and body of a cat into, not just into the, you know, canal there where it could come, into... above the through the cervix, up into the uterus, the claws and body of a cat, and the head of
she
a
still
rabbit.
Had the baby shoot, Devil. So
what
she just pushed
the
it
actual
in there.
Fuck? Who thinks this is a good idea? Who says, you know what? There's not much going on around here. Hey. We choose your vagina. We're going to shove a bunch of barn animals up there. Let's see what happens. Who does that?
Yeah, that's hold my ale. I think that's
exactly.
What Mary said. Hold my ale.
What the hell? Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Well, we had this conversation about masks, right?
Uh-huh.
So the governor said, well, do I think that you should shove rabbits in your vagina? No. Do I think the government should tell you that you cannot shove rabbits into your vagina? Well, I don't know. So, you see, they didn't even have a crime to charge you with because since caveman days, Devil.
No, wait a minute. Let's establish.
Nobody.
My vagina is the most regulated body part ever, anywhere. I'm just saying.
Well,
so, I don't
no
want to hear it.
Because since caveman days. Nobody had considered shoving rabbits into their vagina, so it was not in the penal code.
Penal code.
So the Toft family, they made no profit from this affair. And eventually she was charged with fraud. Her trial became national and even went international. Now, although the medical profession was ridiculed for not recognizing as the hoax it was, Mary herself was found not guilty by the court. And after her release, she faded from public memory. And February 1728, Mary gave birth to an actual daughter.
Which
Elizabeth.
Means Joshua climbed back up in there.
Yeah. That's not a vagina I want any part of.
Uh-uh.
You know, some vaginas are beyond repair. But apparently even...
beyond redemption.
The most... Yeah, apparently you can get... I mean, her vagina was basically like that Pinto that you see that's rusted out and got smoke coming out of it and, you know, making all kinds of noise going down the road. But it still got it. You know, got her there to have another
dog. It still gets you from here to there. I don't think that's...
Exactly.
No, I'm against all that.
Now, little is known about her later life. She briefly appeared on a game show in 1740, but she ended up being...
It's called What's That Animal?
...for receiving stolen goods.
This is a hit.
She died in January... And her obituary ran in London papers alongside those of aristocrats. Mary, the woman who once claimed to give birth to rabbits, was 62 at the time of her death, devil.
I wonder if it was
what
like...
What do you think of Mary Tufts?
Well, I wonder if it was like Karnak, where somebody went up and like put their head against her vagina and said, you know, gave the answer and then pulled out, you know,
yeah,
a lemur or whatever.
What is an eel? It's like Jeopardy.
Exactly.
What is an eel? And pulling it right out of a vagina.
And there it is. Yeah, no.
That's just some messed up
stuff. I don't understand the point. I don't get, I mean, sure, okay, for the attention or whatever. But, and I get that she was ignorant or illiterate or whatever the hell. I get all that. But here's the thing. You know it's bullshit. You know all of this is bullshit. You let yourself being talked into something being shoved on the other side of your cervix. And, you know, at what point, like, dude, once the kingdom starts getting involved, it's time to just kind of slink back into and just go, yeah, it's not happening anymore.
Yes.
And give it up. Like, it's fine for the stupid townspeople to come and see you do this and sell t-shirts and beer koozies and whatever else, keychains. But, you know, you're having people come from all over, and these doctors and these scientists, and you continue to do it. Like, what is your point? What are you hoping to glean from this experience aside from being known as the woman with the nastiest friggin' snatch in England at the time?
Yeah, do you really want to be that woman?
I mean, my God.
I want to know what happens to the rabbits and the goats. You get a full goat goes in and a partial goat comes out. That is a vagina with teeth.
But
that
I don't.
Vagina
that
was
wasn't.
Chewing up those
we
animals.
Don't know what was put in. We only know what came out. So
I don't know.
It could have been like one leg of a goat was put in, and all of a sudden there's half a goat in there. I mean, you don't know. Reverse osmosis.
Did you recover okay, Timmy? I think Timmy got a case of the vapors listening to
there
all
he
these
is.
Oh, poor Timmy. We lost him, but he just couldn't take any more vaginal abuse.
I wouldn't either, and he wrote
this
shit.
Vaginas are sacred to Timmy. They're sacred to Timmy, and he just could not listen to any more.
So. I don't, whatever. I don't
well,
get it.
Well, you know what? We're going to wrap this up, and we're going to thank our Patreon sponsors. And we deeply appreciate your support. And if you would like to become a Patreon sponsor, we will put a link on our page, and you can go to Patreon and find us. But one thing I found is a weird quirk is you got to do, if you're searching for History Dweebs, you got to do it as one word. History Dweebs, all one word. If you go to Patreon, and then you can become a sponsor, and we will really love you for all eternity. Because I don't know if you people know this, but I don't have any money.
No, everybody knows that.
Okay, well, your Patreon support helps greatly. So, so let's start with Andrea and Louise Siddons and Tessie Poor and Kate Byer and Danielle Townsend, Marianne Wright, Adam McWaters, Elaine Baker, Alexandra, Allie, of course, Alicia Mincy, and the lovely Nina at the Already Gone podcast, Amanda Christine, Amber Anderson, Amber Scoville, Anna Gerline, one of my favorites, Andrea Odell, Andrew Frazier, Angela Santos, Angelo Bilifane, Anna Garrett, Malcolm Williams, Annette Petre, Anon, of course, Becky Trainer, Ben Dobrovich, Brandy McBride, Bridget Bernard, Brittany Irvin Martin, of course, Tara and Barney at the Bloody Murder podcast. That's a very funny podcast. Kelly Jones, Christy Lee up at the Canadian True Crime podcast, Carl Asplin, Carol Elise, and Charlie from Crime Lines, who just did an episode a couple weeks ago with us, Cheryl LeBlanc, Chris Lane, Christine Howard, Cindy, our favorite Michiganas, Clark and Diane Trowbridge, and of course we got the Comeback Podcast. You should give that one a listen. Daniel Bissett, Diane Student, Erica Kinney, Aaron Turner, Fiona Crisp, Gina Green, and we got Jay Cleveland Payne, who does 3 or 4 podcasts. You ought to look at his page and see some of his podcasts. They're short. They're very interesting. Jahara Lopez. Jamie Dent, Hiro, Jason Dykes, our favorite doctor and presidential candidate, and I'm hoping he picks me for his cabinet, Jeff and Don Chestnut, Jennifer Orcutt, Jennifer Svoda, Jess Watford, Jessica Greeno, Julia Rodriguez, Karen Bonds, Kelly Charette, Kim Stroop, Kimberly Smith, who was making all kinds of kebabs yesterday, she showed on our page, Christine Malachinsky, Laura O'Reilly, Lydia Wasson Fisher, Maja, Marsha Boris, Marie Marquia Smith, Mary Sheldon, Melissa Montoya, my next wife, Michelle Johns, and Michelle Johns out there working in the hospitals, taking care of those patients. She's a nurse. Michelle, keep yourself safe. We're always thinking about you.
Thanks to all the nurses, actually.
Every single nurse and healthcare worker we have on here. And
thank
everybody
you.
Out there delivering food, working at a restaurant. Just everybody who's keeping this economy going. We appreciate you greatly. Midwives, who are going out risking the COVID to deliver rabbits. Let's see, we got the Pleasing Terrors podcast. We got Spy Stories podcast. We got Robin Sherrard, Ron Montessario, Ruth Whitfield, Sarah Bloom. Of course, we got Charlene, Shannon Arnold, Shirley Strapp, who we have not heard from in a while, and we wish you would check in with us. Stacy Alsop, Stephen Potts, who's been a little nasty to me lately. He's sent me a couple warnings. Terry Stratford, the Vanish podcast. Of course, really, I would say the best-looking couple in podcasting, Ben and Roseanne Fenton, if they walk among us.
Oh, my God.
Tyrone, Tommy Lane, and the international woman of mystery, although I'm not going to give it away here, but I finally think I figured out the story behind Leanne Flanagan. That's her father. Leanne Flanagan. I know what she does. Tracy Smith. Viv. Rebecca L. Jen Lee. Whitney James. Rudy, the Wonder Dog, and the woman we do this show for week after week after week. Dottie, I'm sorry there wasn't a huge body count unless you count the animals. There was a lot of carnage in this one. Not as many dead bodies, but, well, if you count a partial goat and a liverless cat.
Human bodies, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, with the dog's tail, what the fuck happened to the rest of the dog? Did a vagina just eat the whole dog and just spit out
know.
The tail?
But again, I'd like to but thank anyway, Kimberly for suggesting this topic, this fucked up topic.
Kimberly, thank you very much. But Dottie, we hope you are doing well. And, you know, as I said, the woman we do the show for week after week after week. So that is all I have. Hopefully Timmy comes to before his cat eats him. Because you know that's what's going to happen to him, Devil.
Well, I hope
one
he comes to work tomorrow. Yeah, I know.
He won't be
I need him to come to work. Yeah, I need him to be there. I need him to
be
there.
It's... Let's see, we got... No, tomorrow's a Tuesday.
It is.
So, there's a possibility Timmy will be there, but... Yeah. My money's on no.
Perfect.
So,
all right.
So, that's all we have for this week. Next week, we are going to have a woman who spit out... who was... After Henry Ford built the assembly line, she could put small cars together in her vagina. So...
Amazing.
Yeah.
So looking forward to it.
So thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for all your Patreon support. Hopefully, everything's going to go according to plan, and we are still going to have, as of right now, DweebCon is still on for October because I'm working on a vaccine right now. I'm pretty sure it's going to work. It just involves some...
Shut up.
Devil, why can't you come up with a spell to get us out of this?
I don't know, but I need you to...
Could you get on that? Could you get
I'm
your
on
sisters
it.
And your comment on that?
Yep, on it.
All right. Well, until next week, I will just say good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.